ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्री विष्णु सहस्रनाम 190। गोविदाम पतिहि। गो मीन्स words, cow, the earth. And go particularly means speech. So the prime meaning given here is go vidam, means knowers, and patihi, the master. So he is the Krishna, Vishnu, is the master of persons who know the meaning of words, who know the meaning of the Vedas, particularly those are the most important words. Persons of real wisdom. There may be persons who superficially know the Vedas, but they may not know the actual purpose of the Vedas. In chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks of the Vedavadarata, people who are attached to the words of the Vedas. But they take the words at face value, whereas the real meaning is given by Krishna himself. Vedaishcha sarve rahameva vedyah. Krishna is the object of knowledge in the Vedas. So, mere learning is not in and of itself the knowing. To know the words doesn't necessarily mean to know the meaning of the words. Krishna says just after that, brahmanasya vijanataha. One who knows is one who knows Brahman. He's the actual knower of the Vedas. And Brahman, of course, is Krishna, Param Dhamma. Param Brahma. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. It's Krishna. So, Krishna is the master of those who actually understand the words. And of course, he is the one who gives the understanding also. And he's the master of even those who don't understand, but there is a difference. He's the master of everyone, but there is a difference between those who are his devotees and those who are not. The devotees can understand Krishna. He gives them the intelligence by which they can understand him. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. And to others, he gives the intelligence by which they don't understand him. And they think, they're convinced that there is no God, or that there's no Krishna, or there's no, God is not Krishna, or Krishna is not God. The Krishna also, he gives that intelligence also. So he's the master of everyone. He awards different kinds of intelligence to different kinds of people according to their inclination. But those who actually want to know him, he gives them the intelligence by which they can know him. They can understand the actual meaning of the Vedas. They can understand the actual meaning of Krishna's intention. The Vedas are spoken by the Supreme Lord. They are his words. So one who understands what he wants, what he intends by them, they are actual knowers. And He is the master of everyone, but he takes special charge of the devotees. As he says, that samoham sarva bhuteshu namedveshu namestriyaha. I am equal to everyone, I envy no one, and I favor no one, but ye bhajanti dumam bhaktya maite teshu chapyaham. But he takes special care of those who are his devotees. So this is not contradictory. He takes He's the master of everyone, but he particularly takes care of those who want to be cared for by him. And those who don't care for him, he doesn't particularly care for them. He still arranges for everything that they need for their sustenance. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam yovidatati kaman. And he also arranges for their desires to be fulfilled. But the problem is that persons who desire separately from service to Krishna, they can never be happy. And so they get their desires fulfilled, but they're not happy. And Krishna's not happy with them. So Krishna is takes special charge of those who are dear to him. That is natural, just like in a state. The king is the protector of all the citizens. But naturally, the persons who are very dear to him and close to him, he has a closer relationship with them. So he understands those who know the words. He's the master. He's also the master of speech himself. He knows all languages, even the languages of the birds and the beasts. That's sometimes described in Bhavaduk. That name is given in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. He knows all the languages. He can speak to the birds, he can speak to the animals. There's one anecdote in one of Sahadev Prabhu's recent books about a farmer in China. He moved to another part of China where there's different dialect. And he bought a cow, but he was frustrated. He says, "This cow doesn't understand my language." Indicating that the cow understood the local language. They can understand even human terms. Just you can train the bulls by making different orders. They'll go to the right or to the left or stop or whatever. There's another meaning. Or a nuance on this meaning that I don't see where this comes. He helps people to understand. Matasmriti Gyanam Apohanam Cha. He helps devotees to understand even the subtle meanings of the Shastra. Krishna is known as Go Brahmana Hit, one who is very interested in the welfare of the cows and the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas, a real Brahmana is Brahma Janatiti Brahmana, one who knows Brahma. So Brahma means the absolute truth. Yeah, Brahma means Krishna. Brahma means the Vedas. That's one meaning of Brahma. So one who actually knows Krishna is always looking out for the welfare of such persons. So, Krishna is the master of the knowers of the cows, the knowers of the earth, and so on. So, the next name, name 191, Marichihi. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Marichi Marutam Asmi, among the Maruts, the wind gods. He is Marichi. Marichi is a name for the sun, and it particularly means a ray of sunlight. And so Krishna is sometimes compared to the sun. That's discussed elsewhere here in Vishnu Sahasranam. All light emanates from him. Whatever light there is, this sun is so bright to us. This sun is only material light. And from his body comes spiritual light. The Brahma Jyoti is his, is the effulgence coming from his body. Yadadvaitam Brahma Parnashadi Tadapyasya Tanubha. The light from his body, that is what is described by the Advaitavadis in their what they describe, that undivided oneness, which is the light which is described in the Upanishads, that is the light of Krishna's body. So, everything is Krishna. Krishna is he is full light. He can also be considered a ray of light. Even a in the deep darkness, even a single beam of light seems very bright. And you can, at least within the ray of that light, you can see clearly. So similarly, even a little knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, the light that Krishna gives, that helps us to see far more clearly than we can in the darkness. So even if one doesn't see everything or know everything, but even if we have a little knowledge from Bhagavad Gita, we can see things very clearly. Another understanding of this name, Marichi, is destroyer, completely different meaning, by different analysis of the Sanskrit. So Krishna is also the destroyer. Creation, maintenance, and destruction are said to be, are generally understood to be affected by Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh, but overseeing them all is Vishnu. And he ultimately destroys everything. Grasishnu Prabha Vishnu cha. In Bhagavad Gita he says that the super soul devours everything. So time is also, that's one of the names of Krishna, he is time. And the function of time in the material world is to, within time, things come into being, they exist for some time, and they're destroyed. But the main function is destruction. So that causes disappointment. Whereas time in the spiritual realm, that simply, that is the medium for loving exchange, lila. So he is also the destroyer. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityu, dhruvang janma mritasya cha. So for one who is born, death is certain. For one who has died, birth is certain. But then birth is certain, but then again death is certain. So it's a cycle of birth and death. Actually, it's a cycle of death, because there's no birth in, there's no birth for the soul. So the specific feature of the material world is that there is repeated death. That's not in the spiritual world. Name 192, Damanaha. So this name Daman means dispeller, subduer, he who controls everything by pervading everything. The most common meaning is to control or subdue, to subdue, and that's a common term in spiritual culture is indriya daman, to subdue the senses. Are you subduing your senses? Are your senses under control? Or are they wild? The senses are like wild horses. To control them is a great art. Actually, to control them is very difficult. People to try to do that by undertaking yogic austerities, and they think that if they remove themselves from society, then they can control the senses, because if you're just living in a cave, there's nothing to enjoy. Of course, some sense enjoyment will be there also. Something, not very much, but even if you only eat roots from the jungle, then you'll also find some pleasure in eating that. And then you'll take a bath, and in the hot season, if you're bathing, it's pleasurable. So it's not possible to avoid all sense enjoyment, because the interaction of the senses with the sense object, not in all cases, but in some cases, gives sense pleasure. Sometimes it gives pain also. If you eat something which is not tasting nice, then it's not pleasurable. But even then, if you're very hungry, even that might give some pleasure. So the yogis, they try to go into deep trance, but until they're in the perfect state, they have to come out of trance and eat something at some point. But even in deep trance, there'll be some, on the mental platform, there's some interaction of something with something else. Or if one just goes into a stage of self-forgetfulness, you may say, well, that's now the senses are under control, but that's, what kind of control is it like that? That's just like, this patient is suffering and he's a lot of pain. So, all right, the doctor says, I have a sure way to stop his pain. So the relation says, the relation who brought the patient in, yes, well, please do it. And he pulls out a gun and shoots the patient dead. So stopped all the pain. The patient is no longer experiencing pain, but he's dead. So the attempt by the yogis to simply stop all thoughts and actions is to stop the consciousness altogether. That is one way of controlling the senses, but then the senses no longer have any function, or they try to come to a state where there is no function. The Vaishnava way of controlling the senses is completely different. It is Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. That is by bhakti, engaging the senses in the service of the master of the senses. So Krishna, he is Dhamman. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he prays in his song Gopinath that I'm unable to control my senses. You take charge. He's in charge ultimately of the senses. So if we desire to control our senses, to engage our senses in his service, instead of trying to enjoy separately from him, then we have to pray to him for the mercy by which we can do so. Now, so subduer, especially of the senses. So we have to pray to him that please help me to control my senses. Because uncontrolled senses means that there's no spiritual advancements are not possible. The mind is the center of the senses. So if the mind is uncontrolled, the senses are uncontrolled. As soon as we see some nice food in a shop, we can't stop ourselves. We go in and buy it and start to eat it. No control. We know what's right and what's wrong, but we just don't have the habit of applying our discrimination and saying, no, I shouldn't do this. All right, I won't do it. So, if one is completely self-uncontrolled or non-self-controlled, then he's like a madman or an animal. Even an animal can be trained to have some control. You train them, just like we're talking about bulls, they can be trained to act submissively to the human. Elephants can be, dogs can be. Cats, not much, but to some extent. But if one is completely uncontrolled, then just like an animal, or a child, a baby, a newborn baby, you don't expect a baby to be, no one expects a baby to have any modicum of self-control. But as the children grow, then gradually they're trained. One of the main functions of a school is to train the children in sense control. That's the greatest gift of in education. If the children can be trained in sense control. Of course, you may say the greatest gift is to give them Krishna consciousness. But there's no real Krishna consciousness without sense control. Because Atendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bale Kam Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Prema Nam. As long as we are desiring our own sense enjoyment, then we're on the mundane platform, the platform of personal desire. And the platform of Krishna consciousness is to simply desire Krishna's enjoyment. So this point is very important. How Krishna, he helps us to control the senses. And he himself, of course, is the greatest controller of his senses. Krishna completely controls his senses by engaging his senses in acts of personal enjoyment, which is what he does, because he's the supreme enjoyer. And everyone else controls their senses by withdrawing their senses. Anyone else who is to be self-controlled must control their senses by withdrawing their senses from any acts of personal enjoyment, because the constitutional position of Krishna is to enjoy, and the constitutional position of everyone else is to be enjoyed. So the desire to enjoy separately from Krishna is the root problem. It is our problem in material existence. So Krishna helps us to overcome that. So other meaning of Damana. Means one who dispels. So Krishna dispels the distress of living in the material world. It especially dispels the distress of his devotees. Linking the previous name, Marichi, with the present one, Baladev Vidyabhushan, explains this name as he who dispels the sufferings of those who meditate on his kanti, on his effulgence. So he's a dispeller. Another meaning, is the subduer, not only of the senses, but he controls and punishes those that misbehave. So in this sense, the king is a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The king, if they're actually doing what they're supposed to be doing. There are no kings in the modern age. And even the leaders, they don't even know what is right and what is wrong, so they don't punish people for doing wrong. They themselves are doing wrong most of the time. The worst people are on top of the government administration. Should be the best people. That can also mean Yamaraj. Yamaraj is a representative of Krishna. Other meanings. He who by pervading everything controls everything. So he keeps everything in order. He's the subduer. He keeps everything in order. The laws of science, the scientists want to tell us that this is all going on by chance. But actually it is Krishna entering into everything who keeps everything in its right place and maintains the laws of nature, as they call it. There's one name called, one asura called Damana, so who killed that demon, that is Vishnu. Who subdues the wicked, that we already discussed. He who is supreme among those who have control of the mind. Yeah, he's the best. There may be many people who have the quality of Damana, of subduing the mind and senses, but Krishna is the best of them. One of Krishna's six most prominent qualities is Vairagya. He's renounced. He's not attached. So Krishna is not impelled by his senses. Then another meaning is da. Damana, da means giving, and manaha means mind. So in whose mind there is always the tendency to give to others. In materialistic consciousness, we always want to take from others. But Krishna, he's not in shortage of anything. He doesn't need anything from anyone. His propensity is to give to others, especially to his devotees. And he gives to everyone else also. People, someone wants material enjoyment, Krishna arranges that. Someone wants to be very rich, Krishna arranges. Krishna is the giver, but we should know what to pray to him for. Not pray to him for anything material. So this point of subduing, everyone has to subdue their senses. Either voluntarily or involuntarily. For instance, if someone thinks, this food is so nice, let me eat more and more and more and more and more and more and more, then he'll get sick, and then he can't eat for 5 days. So then he's forced to subdue his senses by a roundabout way. So the same thing, if the more one indulges in sense enjoyment, the more one has to suffer. It's Krishna's mercy to help people to understand that this sense enjoyment is not in our self-interest. There's another name which will come later in Vishnu Sahasranam. It's similar or derived from the same root. Damayata is that name. So, Hare Krishna. There's three names for today. Any comment or question? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.